Matthew chapter 8. Stand with me in honor of God's word, please, for a few minutes while I read, beginning in verse 1. Matthew chapter 8. Thank you, girls, for that song. I made up my mind. I will follow Christ. That's every pastor's dream decision at the altar for every one of his members. Just make up your mind every time you come to church, I'm following Christ. Matthew chapter 8, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him and saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou, tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. I want to preach to you tonight. I'm not going to finish it tonight. I'm not going to finish it tonight. But I want to preach to you on answered prayers. Answered prayer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Jesus. I thank you, God, for true salvation. Lord, for the eternal security that we have. I thank you, Lord, for Claudia's decision to trust Christ and to be baptized tonight. And Lord, the peace that she now has, the joy that's apparent, Father, on her countenance. I thank you for the testimonies that we've heard of your people, Lord, and their how you've changed their lives. And thank you, God, for this church where we can all be together, this place that you provided for us. And Lord, we are asking you now as we come to the preaching time of the service that you would fill this place with your Holy Spirit, that all hearts and minds, Father, would be focused on Jesus. Oh, we're looking forward to a day of rest tomorrow, a holiday for most of us, if not all of us, and Lord, a time of refreshment. But Lord, I pray that as we sit here, Lord, our minds would not drift off to yesterday or tomorrow, but Lord, we would listen on purpose. And we pray, fill me, I pray, Lord, I want to be a help. Lord, if I know my heart, Lord, this has been a blessing to me already. So Lord, please help me to be an encouragement to your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And you may be seated. I want to talk to you about answered prayer. Matthew chapter 8 here, this verse 1, this leper, Jesus has come down. He just got finished preaching the Sermon on the Mount. 5, 6, and 7, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is where you find that sermon. You find the Beatitudes. You find how he teaches on prayer and fasting and many different truths in the Sermon on the Mount. But he comes down and great multitudes are following him. And I want to look at this leper in verse 2. This leper came to Jesus and listen, it says, he asked him to be healed. He simply said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He's asking Jesus to heal him. Let me tell you something. Simply put, boiled down to the very basics, biblical prayer is asking and receiving. The word itself, prayer, means to ask. A-S-K. Ask. Throughout the Bible, we find the word used between one person and another person. Not even talking to the Lord, not praying as far as we think of prayer. We always think of prayer as praying to our Heavenly Father, and it is, but in the Bible, we have many instances of one person asking another person for something, and the word pray is used instead of ask. I'll just read you a couple. You don't have to turn there. Genesis 24:43, Abraham's servant, it says unto Rebekah, Isaac's future wife, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. If you know the story, Abraham told his servant to go find Isaac a wife, and when he found this woman at the well, literally, a different woman, a different well, but he found and he said, give me, I pray thee. He was asking for a little water to drink. In Genesis 25, verse 30, Esau is speaking to Jacob. He says, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. This is where Esau sold his birthright. Well, God says he despised his birthright, and he gave it up for a bowl of pottage, a bowl of soup. But he says, feed me, I pray thee, I ask thee, give me some. So the servant says, give me some water, please. Esau said to Jacob, give me some food, please. But the word the Bible uses is pray. Genesis 37:16, I seek my brethren. This is Joseph talking to the stranger. If you remember, Joseph's father sent him to go find his brethren. And he says, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. So this is Joseph speaking to a stranger. He didn't even know. It's not a prayer like we think of, but it's simply asking. Exodus chapter 4, verse 18. This is Moses to his father-in-law, Jethro. Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt. Now, I'm not going to read you all of them, but approximately from what I could tell in my study, 158 times. Aren't you glad I'm not going to read them all? 158 times in the Bible, that phrase, I pray thee, is used referring to one person talking to another person. Sit up straight and listen, I pray thee, tonight. Amen. There's a good example. Amen? So, I don't pray my children behave. I tell them to behave. And then they pray, Dad, please don't spank me. But it's simply asking. Look in Matthew 7 right there where you're at, back in verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Notice, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Prayer. Asking. Matthew chapter 8, then, in this first instance, the leper simply asked for the Lord Jesus to heal him, and he got what he asked for. He got his prayer answered. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you follow. Is everybody following me? Is this, I don't think I'm getting too deep, am I? But as I began reading this chapter and studying and doing in my own personal Bible reading, something stood out to me about Matthew chapter 8 that I hadn't seen before. I began to notice as I was reading this chapter that there are several examples of this very same thing in this chapter. Look in verse 5 of Matthew 8. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Now that word beseeching is just another term for asking, literally begging. Beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. He besought that the Lord would heal his servant. Jesus answered. You can jump down to verse 13. Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. His servant was healed in the selfsame hour. That very same hour, his prayer was answered. Are you seeing the? Now look over in down verse 14. Another instance. When Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Right there we know Peter had a wife. Okay, I'm sorry, he could not be the first pope. He had a wife. Only a fool, like I said before, only a fool would have a mother-in-law without a wife. Anyway, she was sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Now, in the book of Luke, we're told, don't turn over there, we'll look at it later, that the disciples besought, again, the word beseech or ask, they ask that Jesus would heal her. A man praying for his mother-in-law. Hey, I better be quiet. Oh, man. Don't get tight now, I'm just playing. But there's another example of someone asking and then Jesus answering. Her fever left her, she arose and ministered unto them. Verse 23, jump down to verse 23. When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. His disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. That is a prayer. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds, and there was great calm. He answered their prayer. Amen. Now, those are wonderful. We're going to study those in depth here throughout this sermon and however long it takes us. But something else in this story, in this chapter that I want you to see, just for curiosity's sake, and just because I think it's very interesting. Look in verse 31 of this same chapter. Notice, so the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. Now wait a minute. Are you telling me the devils even prayed to the Lord and got what they asked? That's what it says. Well, now that's some weird theology there. I'm not going to try to explain all of that, but I do want to say this. If the devils know enough to pray and ask God for what they need, and they get it, don't you think we should be able to? Amen. Now, don't look at me cross-eyed. I'm not preaching any kind of weird doctrine, but that's what the Bible says. The devils besought him, and he said, go. He answered their prayer. I mean, look in verse 34. Here's another interesting example of prayer in this chapter. I told you, it's all over this chapter. Behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him. They asked him that he would depart out of their coast. So the lost world prayed that Jesus would leave them alone. Listen, there comes a time when God turns people over to their own reprobate minds, by the way. If you know a lost person, you need to be careful and warn them. Don't ever pray that God would leave you alone, because he just might do it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on those because, quite frankly, I'm not sure what that theology is all about. But I do know that there are a lot of interesting examples of answered prayer. I want to take those first examples that I talked about in this chapter. People asking the Lord and getting answers. And I want to try to use these examples. By the way, God puts these things in the Bible for a reason. Amen. They're in the Bible for a reason. They're not just there to kill time. God put, you know, everything that Jesus did is not in the Bible. The Bible says that there's no way that the whole world could contain the amount of the volumes of the books that if everything that Jesus did was contained in the Bible. So everything is not in there. So when God puts something in here, like very specific instances of answered prayer, I believe He's trying to teach us something. So I want to try to relate to you what God has taught me, shed some light on maybe why these people got their answers. Listen, like that. I mean, that very same hour, that very same day, right away, the leper got cleansed right there. The centurion servant got healed that same hour. The mother-in-law arose and ministered unto them that very same day. The storm was calmed right away. Now, I can't speak for you, but sometimes my prayers don't get answered like that. Most of the time, my prayers don't get answered like that. And let me say this, at least not that I can see. I want to learn, and I want to try to help us all learn a little bit about prayer and getting answers to our prayer. But I want to say a couple things before I get started. Number one, when it comes to prayer, God is not a vending machine. I'm not going to preach this to make you think, well, I just got to push the right buttons to get what I want from God. That's not at all what I'm trying to say here tonight. God is not a vending machine. God is not mocked. He doesn't give us whatever we want. There's a lot of truths in what I'm going to bring out of these scriptures here tonight. But first, I don't want you to think that I'm trying to tell you that you can just push the right buttons. And number two, I also want you to understand, God will never answer prayer that goes against His Word. Okay, for instance, you can't pray, God, please send so-and-so to heaven, whether they're saved or not. God, please, I pray that my lost uncle made it to heaven. You're wasting your breath. God cannot go against His Word. God, please give me peace in my heart while I'm living in sin with my boyfriend. That's not going to happen. God, please bless my sinful, rebellious lifestyle. Please make me have peace in my heart as I live in sin and rebel against you. That's not going to happen. God can't answer prayer, will never answer prayer that goes against his word. Number three, just a quick introductory thoughts here tonight. Prayer was not given to us for 911 emergencies. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying when you're in a big mess, but don't use and abuse the privilege of prayer in such a disgraceful manner. Prayer, by the way, prayer should never be the last resort. Prayer should always be our first resort. And just by way of introduction, understand sometimes, regardless of what we're going to study in this message, in this series, sometimes God does say no. Okay? Don't misunderstand. But I would like for us to understand that no is still an answer. No is still an answer. And no might mean never, but no might also mean not now. Either way, it's still an answer, and I thank God for it when he answers my prayer. Because he no is still a good answer for me, because God knows best. You know, let me tell you this. It could be that God's more interested in changing your character before he changes your circumstances. It could be that God's more interested in working on you before he gets rid of that situation. The prayers in this chapter, however, are all answered in a very positive manner. And listen, I read to you in Matthew chapter 7. I believe God wants to do these things for his children. I believe that. I believe God is a true, loving, heavenly Father that has the power to do whatever he wants to do, and he enjoys and he desires to answer his children's prayers. If you don't believe that about God, then you just don't understand. But God loves his children. And that's what Matthew chapter 7 says. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? Aren't you glad we have a how much more heavenly Father? How much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? We have a heavenly Father who wants to give us even more answers to prayer. So quickly, let's look at these things here tonight for a few minutes. Let's look at the first one. Go back to verse 2, Matthew chapter 8. I want to talk to you tonight about some things that the Lord has shown me that are included in these prayers. Some elements, let's put it that way maybe, elements of prayer that we should always include in our prayer. According to Scripture principle here. Number one, I believe that adoration should always be included in my prayer. Look in verse 2. Behold, there came a leopard, and what's that verse? That next word? Worshipped him. Before he said anything about himself, before he said anything about his disease, before he asked for anything, church, listen to me. Don't miss this. This is the first thing, but I believe this is very foundational. Adoration, worship is the very first thing that we learn that needs to be included in our prayer. Again, I go back to the vending machine. I've never seen anybody bow down and worship that vending machine before they push those buttons. God is not a vending machine. Look in Matthew chapter 6, just a few pages back, verse 9. The Lord's model prayer. By the way, this is not the prayer that you have to pray every time. That's not what this is. This is just a model prayer that contains elements of prayer that we need to learn from. But I want you to notice in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6, after this manner, Jesus is telling on the mount, on the Sermon on the Mount, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Boom, right off the bat, he says, hallowed be thy name. The first part of Jesus' model prayer was for God's name to be hallowed. Amen. The word hallowed means revered, honored, praised, exalted, worshipped, lifted up, extolled. I'm telling you, where the very first element of all of our prayer time should start, it should be adoration. Worshiping and adoring our Heavenly Father. I believe with all my heart that most Christians miss it right on the first step. Y'all not saying anything, but worship, I told you in a previous message not too long ago, worship includes three factors. Attitude. If you notice back in verse 2 of chapter 8, behold, there came a leper and worshiped him. Now, I believe with all my heart, he got down on his knees. He probably got down on his face. Worship is an attitude. It's a spirit. It's kneeling. It's falling down at his feet. It's taking an attitude of total submission to our Heavenly Father. It's an attitude of understanding that He is so much greater. I don't know, but in maybe this hasn't dawned on you, but it has as I was studying this, and I once again I was reminded how insignificant and puny and small I really am.
Amen.
Amen.
What is man that thou art mindful of him? That's asked two different times in the Bible and it's never answered. What is man that thou, God, art mindful of him? Me. Who am I that I should be able to come to a God in heaven who created me, who gave me the very breath that I inhale and exhale, who gave me the health and the life and the heart that beats in my chest only beats because He allows it to.
Amen.
And so who am I to come before an almighty God such as that and ask Him for anything? But we are so vain. Just go ahead and nod your heads. We're so full of ourselves that we forget how puny we really are.
Amen.
I mean, have you ever looked in a telescope? Maybe not. You don't even have to look in a telescope. Just look up with the naked eye out on a dark night some night where there's no street lights around, and you just go out in the country and just look up at all the heavenly bodies up there, the planets and the stars, and then realize you're not even seeing a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of everything that's up there.
Amen.
That God has created, that He has hung by the power of His Word.
Amen.
Let there be light. Let there be planets. Let there be... Oh, and it says, oh, by the way, He created the stars too. Like as if that's just no big deal. It's not to God. And then think about all of that vast universe and galaxies and all of the solar system, our solar system, but we don't know how many there really are. And then the things that we haven't even discovered yet and never seen. Have you ever seen pictures from that what is that telescope that's up in, anyway, that one that's up there all the time and it sends back pictures to us. But it's absolutely incredible. It's amazing the creation of God. And you and me, we're just like a speck on a speck on a speck of a speck.
Yes.
I mean, we may not even be the only people in God's creation. We don't have any idea.
That's right. Absolutely.
And it just gets a hold of me sometimes. Wow, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I mean, I don't always obey you, God. I don't always do what you tell me. I don't always even think right. If it was up to me, I'd be in hell. If it was up to me, my life would be an absolute wreck. I mean, a train wreck. You've seen pictures. Lord, if it was up to you, I would have no joy. I would never know what peace is. I would never know who you even are if you didn't come and manifest yourself to me through your Son, Jesus Christ, through your precious Bible and your Holy Spirit, and draw me and woo me unto yourself and save my ever wretched soul. And now I'm alive forevermore. I have total peace in my heart. I have real joy no matter what comes my way. And dear God in heaven, I should fall down on my face and worship you first and foremost of every time I come into your presence.
Amen.
Prayer. Yes, it's asking. But we're not just asking another human being. We're coming before God. It's an attitude. It's an attitude of acknowledging God's power. Look in verse 2 of chapter 8. Look at this leper. We can learn a lot from this leper. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Not only was his attitude of worship, but his words, his acknowledging, listen, thou canst make me clean. Now, he didn't say thou can't, he said thou canst, meaning God, Jesus, Savior, Lord, Master, Rabbi, I don't know if you want to, but I know you can. I know you can.
Amen.
I'm talking about worship. I'm still talking about adoration. God, I don't know if you will. And he didn't. He didn't know what he was going to get, but he knew that Jesus could. And I think our attitude in prayer many times is doesn't start like this. But I believe this is where it always should start. No matter what we're asking for, no matter where we're at. Now, we may have time to fall down and worship and do all of that, but our attitude, our spirit, our heart, our mind ought to be completely engaged in the fact that He is almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, Jehovah God.
Amen.
And the only reason that I even have access to Him in prayer is because of His grace.
Amen.
He humbled Himself at the feet of Jesus. He had no doubt about God's power. And he wasn't ashamed to say it. Thou canst. I know you can, Lord. I already mentioned this a minute ago, but I want you to think about this. He worshiped and he adored Jesus and he proclaimed the power of God. He confessed that God was almighty and all powerful. Listen, and he hadn't got anything from him yet. He was still a leper. He was still unclean. He was still sick. He hadn't got anything from the Lord yet. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, we think we're going to worship God when He does what we want Him to do. Hold on a minute. Hold on a cotton picking minute. I don't know where that comes from. Stinking sounds worse though. So cotton picking. Just hold on a minute. Let's just leave it at that. It doesn't matter if He ever blesses us ever again. If He never gives us another answer to prayer, He's God.
Right.
And we're saved.
Amen.
We're forgiven. We're redeemed. We're made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. We have been saved forever. I mean, glory to God, God's precious blood that shed on the cross from His only begotten Son has cleansed our hearts from all unrighteousness. He has washed us in His own blood, the Bible says. And if He never does another thing for us, He is worthy of all of our worship, all of our adoration, all of our praise. But when we get ourselves in a bind, or maybe we just find ourselves with a great need, I'm convicted by this very first point. And I think if you'll be honest with yourself, you are too. Prayer ought to begin right here. Amen. All prayer. Maybe, like I said, I don't have time, but my spirit ought to be such that it is completely, totally given to adoring Him. My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My precious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Turn to Psalm 100 real quick. Let me show you something. Psalm 100. Told you I wasn't going to get even past the first point tonight, but that's okay. Psalm 100. You have to buy the CDs, amen. Psalm 100. One of these days, never mind. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Notice, come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates. We're coming before Him with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. That psalm is exactly what I'm talking about tonight. Amen. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's, you know, you can sing your praises to God. You don't have to only sing in church. By the way, that song says, early in the morning, our song shall rise to Thee. Something like that. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. That's a song of worship and praise and thanksgiving. Come before His presence with singing. You say, preacher, I can't sing. That's why God put verse 1 in there for you. Make a joyful noise. That's my wife's life verse. Y'all don't tell her, but Miss Fall can't sing. But she has a joyful noise, I guarantee you. And she knows what it means to praise God. I'm telling you tonight, this leper hadn't got anything from God yet. He hadn't got any answers yet. He didn't know what the outcome was going to be. Turn to Psalm 95, verse 6. And we'll probably just close tonight with this first step. 95, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Our Maker. For He is our God. We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Listen, I'm telling you what. Those are the things that you need to keep in mind when you're going to God in prayer. That He is our God. that we are the sheep of His pasture. That He holds heaven and earth in His hand. He's got the whole world. No, never mind. We're not seeing that. But it's true. He's got you and me, brother, sister, in His hand. He's got the whole world in His hand. There's nothing that God cannot do. There's nothing that God cannot do. With God, all things are possible. There is nothing too hard for our God. There is a God in heaven who, in spite of our itty-bitty, puny, putrid existence, He knows our name. He knows the very hairs of our head. Some of you, that's easy to keep track of. But He knows the very thoughts of our heart, every intent of our heart. He knows everything about us. He is a very personal, loving, and gracious Heavenly Father. And He wants us. He said, ask. He says, ask. He says, ask. Pray. But I do believe with all my heart that we ought not ever overlook adoring Him, yes, worshiping Him, praising Him. That ought to be the very first and foundational part of our prayer lives. Yes. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hand have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. You know, Baptist, I'm afraid we've allowed all of these churches to rob us of worshiping our God. Amen. Adoring Him. Yeah. It's not about waving your naked body in front of, it's about a heart, attitude, and spirit of total worship and understanding that I am nothing and He is everything. Amen. And if He wants to answer my prayer, which He does, then He deserves all my praise and worship and adoration before anything else. Amen. And don't forget that that leper did it before he got a single answer. He did it because he knew he was face to face with Jesus. Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold Him far beyond the starry skies, face to face in all His glory I shall see Him by and by. Whew. I just kind of want to get on my face and worship God a little while. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you did that? Don't look down at the ground now. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but you ought to feel bad. If you haven't done that, what's wrong? He's God. Amen. He is God. What is man that Thou art mindful of him? Let's bow for prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.